Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Good morning. It's a privilege to be with the whole Stonebridge family today. I just wrapped up this message in the bridge, and so I've been practiced. So, hopefully it's a little better than it was over there. As you've experienced already, we are celebrating milestones today: graduation, confirmation, promotion of our children into one grade from the next. It's a busy time of the year as we really do take stock and reflect on the ways that our lives are moving forward and all the progress that we're making in our lives. And it's a great, great time. Obviously, we lost one of the great, great wordsmiths of the past century this past week with the passing of Maya Angelou. And I know that her words are often quoted at graduation ceremonies, and I thought I'd share one with you today, one of my favorite of her quotes. She said, "You are the sum total of everything you've ever seen, heard, eaten, been told, smelled, forgot. It's all there. Everything influences each of us. And because of that, I try to make sure that my experiences are positive." These are stressful times, and it's sometimes easy to get caught up in things that aren't so positive because we get so stressed out about the graduations and all the responsibilities and all the things that we have to do. But it's important to remember all of these experiences are opportunities to experience God's presence and to make them positive and to enjoy them and to really get the most out of them is a great, great blessing in our lives. These opportunities, one is an opportunity to enjoy the accomplishment, to simply just be proud of what has happened, what the person, what your loved one, what you have accomplished. The achievement that's a result of hard work and sacrifice feels good. And it's okay to be proud of yourself. It's okay to be excited about what you've accomplished and what you've achieved. And it's also important because it was wise to make that kind of investment in your future. And so it's really an exciting thing. It's also important to acknowledge the people who helped make you. Teachers, people who made an investment in you, parents, coaches, mentors, people who really tried to be there for you and give you guidance and wisdom. And you can say thanks to those people as you celebrate and enjoy this accomplishment. It's also an opportunity to examine where I am and where I'm going. This accomplishment is a milestone. It's not the end of life. It's really just a stopping point, a mile marker in the course of our lives. And so it's an opportunity to give thanks and to take stock of what's gotten me here and then how I'm going to move forward. What's possible now in my life now that this goal has been achieved or accomplished? And finally, it's an opportunity to employ a strategy to reach my next goals. What's it going to take to reach the next milestone? What's it going to take in my life to get to the next point that I want to be? Am I willing to do what's necessary in order to get to that point? Am I willing to make the commitment it's going to take in order to get there? Sometimes we think about commitment, we think, oh boy, commitment's such a bad word. I don't want to be committed to anything. But the reality is that this commitment is simply this. Commitment is the alignment of our motives, resources, priorities, and goals in order to fulfill a specific mission, accomplish a specific task, or follow a specific person. That's all commitment is aligning our resources, motives, and goals in order to accomplish something. And so we understand that. We understand commitment. We understand if you want to achieve academically, you have to take certain classes. You have to study. You have to sacrifice time at the parties for time in the library, and you do that. If you want to accomplish something athletically, then you have to put in the work. You have to put the time in the gym and in the weight room, and you might have to join the club team or the traveling team or get private coaching in order to advance and accomplish things athletically. If you want to advance artistically, then you invest in private lessons and you buy better equipment, better instruments, and better materials in order to get the most out of what you're doing artistically. If you're investing in your marriage, then you take seriously the vow to forsake all others, all other people, all other places and things, whatever distracts you from the marriage and the relationship and the investment that you've made in the relationship. You have to say no to certain things in order to say yes to the life that you want to build through your marriage. If you're raising kids, you know all about commitment and sacrifice. You sacrifice sleep and you sacrifice your sanity for the sake of our children. And that never ends, I don't think. I think it continues on all throughout the kid's life. We hear about lack of commitment, but I think the truth is that we're perfectly willing to commit to what we believe in. We're perfectly willing to commit to the things that we value. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what it means to value something, what it means to hold something, and be willing to invest in that. And so I want to encourage you and invite you to Matthew chapter 16, if you have a Bible with you or a Bible app on your phone. These are Jesus' words to his disciples. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. I don't know if you've ever seen some of these shows on TV, on cable, the Storage Wars and Pawn Stars. And Storage Wars, they buy a storage unit that's been foreclosed on, and they try to find some hidden treasure in that unit. They'll peer in and they'll see if they can find something that nobody else sees, or they might just buy it and hope that there's something in a box someplace that has great value that will be worth the investment that they made in the storage unit. And these guys on Pawn Stars, they'll go to the pawn shop and they'll take this thing that they found at a garage sale, or they'll take this thing that they found in the upstairs attic or a closet someplace, and they'll hope that it has great, great value and they can sell it for lots of money. We understand how that works. Maybe you've been to a garage sale or an estate sale and you've seen something that was labeled 25 cents, but you knew something that the owner didn't know about it, and you were able to buy it at a steal and have something of great value. Way back in the early 70s, my Uncle Jim told me that he was just out of law school. He was getting ready to start his law practice up in North Arkansas, and his daughter, my cousin Ashley, had just been born, and his law partner came up to him one day and said, "Jim, you got to go down to the bank right now and take out a loan for $1,000. $1,000 in 1970 was a ton of money. It was like $10,000, maybe $25,000 today. Take out a loan for $1,000 because Sam Walton's about to take his company public, and you need to make an investment in it." And my Uncle Jim said, "I just had this baby. I'm getting started with my law practice. I don't want to invest. I don't want to take a loan out to invest $1,000 in some Walmart that who knows what's going to happen to it." Well, you know, had he known that investment over time, that $1,000 would have easily paid back the bank and made him rich beyond his wildest dreams, he might have done something different. But it wasn't something he valued at the time. Going into debt and investing in a company that he knew nothing about wasn't something he valued at that particular time in his life, and so he didn't do it. Well, Jesus' parable here is really talking about commitment. It's talking about the willingness to commit something in this time in order to get something greater later. So he's talking about this man who's walking through a field that he did not own. Don't know why he was walking through a field he didn't own, but he was walking around. And he didn't have a metal detector. He wasn't walking around looking for things, but somehow, some way, he stumbled upon a treasure that was buried underground. Now, again, I'm not quite sure how he figured this out. He found this, he tripped over something, or he found this treasure, and he discovered that the value of this treasure was worth more than he could ever imagine. And so he hid the treasure back in the ground, and he went home, and he told his wife, "We're selling everything that we have in order to buy this field." Now, that conversation would not have gone the same way for me as it did for this man. Don't think that I could have convinced my wife that we could sell the house and sell all the cars and sell everything that we've got in order to go buy an empty field because there's something in there that's more valuable than all the stuff that we have put together. But somehow, in his joy, the scripture says, the man went and sold everything that he had in order to buy this field. And the field that he bought, because of the treasure that was in it, was worth more than all of the other assets that he had. A merchant who was in search of fine pearls knew what he was looking for, and he came upon a pearl of great value. He went back and sold his entire collection, everything else that he had, in order to buy that one pearl that was worth more than all the other things combined. And Jesus is talking about the importance of making wise investments in something that will yield a much higher return. And he compared these investments to what it means to live in the kingdom of God. And so today I want to focus, the gist of my message to us is how to get the most out of life. How do we do that? How do we get the most out of life? And first of all, I want to share with you a secret, that getting the most out of life is not found in achievement or accomplishment. Now, achieving things and accomplishing things, these are things that might help us sustain our lives, but they are not what gives us life. That true life, abundant life, the life that God wants for us, comes from something else. It comes by committing our lives to God, totally and completely. That's the secret. And here's the surprise. Total commitment is the channel through which God's best and biggest blessings flow. Our total commitment is the channel through which God works and bestows blessing upon us. Matthew 16:25 says, if we lose our lives for Christ's sake, we'll gain it. Mark 8:34 says, you'll pick up your cross and follow Christ. Romans 12:1 says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And this sounds difficult, and it sounds demanding, and it sounds like something we don't want to have to do. Lose our lives, pick up our cross, be a living sacrifice. These are really negative ways of thinking about commitment. But if we rethink that definition of commitment, commitment is aligning our motives and our goals and our resources and our actions in order to accomplish a specific task, then total commitment is strategic. It's wise and it's logical. It's good management. It's good stewardship. Willing to sell everything that we have in order to invest in something of greater value. We understand that in the marketplace. Students understand that as they take out student loans for their bachelor's degree or their graduate degrees because they think that the investment in their education is going to pay off in a bigger way in the workplace. We understand how that works in the world, so why aren't we as convinced that it's as necessary for our faith to commit ourselves totally and completely? Friends, the psalmist tells us the earth is the Lord's and everything that's in it. Everything that we have, everything that we are, all the earth, the sky, and the heavens and the earth, all belong to God. God owns it all. Nothing here belongs to us. And yet, somehow we think that we're in charge and that God was put in our earth in order to accommodate us. I got this card the other day in the mail of the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And he had all the loaves and the fishes miraculously appear, but somebody couldn't eat it because he was a vegan. They wanted to know if the bread was gluten-free. We somehow have gotten this idea that we're in charge, that everything is about us, and we've started to believe that everything is all about us and that getting the most out of life is getting whatever makes me happy and fulfilled. That's what getting the most out of life really means. It's about my happiness and my contentment and my being fulfilled. But that's arrogant, and it's wrong. We think that getting things are going to make us happy, achieving things, possessing things, relationships, vacations. These things are going to make us happy, but things never give us total happiness. I've learned that lesson more than once. Maybe you have too. We expect people to make us happy, but I've learned that we'll never be fulfilled or happy if our happiness depends on other people. People, organizations, institutions, these things let us down. They disappoint us. True happiness is not going to be found by manufacturing it. We can always find reasons to be unhappy if our happiness depends on other people to make us happy. Happiness and contentment and fulfillment, these come from knowing and doing what makes God happy. What makes God happy? One of the things that we learn from Scripture is that God desires mercy, not sacrifice. Acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. God's happiness is from our love, our acknowledgement of God, our giving God ourselves. Not the things that we give God, not the things that we do, just giving God ourselves. That's what makes God happy. The earth is the Lord's, and God's greatest desire is still to be in relationship with us. God has it all, and yet what God wants most is you and me. God wants all that we are. And God wants our lives to be totally and completely surrendered to Him. I think the great challenge in our world then is that there are lots of people who live in our world whose lives are not totally surrendered to God. There are lots of people who attend churches whose lives are not totally surrendered to God. We sort of Christian-ish. And the Christian-ish in our communities have sort of a cultural Christianity. It's not Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian. It's just sort of a way that we sort of live out our faith in the world outside of Sunday worship. And our cultural Christianity can be summed up in this phrase, moral therapeutic deism. The way that we practice our faith is through moral therapeutic deism. That first of all, my religion exists to tell me the rules, and I'll do my best to follow the rules and make sure nobody else gets hurt. I'll try my best to be a moral person and do the right things. Therapeutic means that the religion exists to make me feel good, that it's therapeutic to me. It makes me feel better about myself. And deism is simply that belief in God as a supreme being, a higher power who I can direct my thoughts to, but otherwise stays pretty distant and pretty much out of my life and lets me do my own thing. Moral therapeutic deism. This is how we practice our faith a lot of times out in the real world, but that is not a relationship with God. And that is not a life that is totally surrendered to God. God does not want our religion. God wants our relationship. God doesn't want this watered down, pseudo committed version of religion where we kind of show up every once in a while and think we're doing God a favor. And we do a little bit because we feel like we need to check that off the list. And we give a little bit because, you know, that's what we're kind of supposed to do. That's not the way that God set this up. It's not how God created the church. It's not what God wants from us. The church that God created was to be a community of faith, the body of Christ, the embodiment of Christ in the world that we live in, a place for relationships to grow and be nurtured. And God wants that relationship with us. God wants to know us, and God wants for us to know God, and for us to love God with all that we are, and then love our neighbor as an expression of that love. And we talk about it. We nod our heads in agreement, but our lives don't always reflect what that really means. And I think that's the reason a lot of people tell me, and a lot of people act like they are unfulfilled in their lives, while we don't feel like we are getting the most out of our lives. So how do we do that? How do we get the most out of life? I think it's very simple. I think it happens when we move from being in to being all in when it comes to our total commitment to God. Romans 12:1 says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. I think there are some very important things that Paul tells us in that one little passage. First of all, it tells that our relationship with God begins with God's mercy. By God's prevenient grace, we are invited into a relationship with God, and God's grace flows into our lives before we're even aware of it. And God calls us to a new awareness of God's presence, and God helps us grow as His people. And then through God's justifying grace, we respond by making an offering. Paul says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. Well, what does that mean? It means that we're willing to give God everything that we have, and that we realize a lifestyle of worship. And not just an hour on Sunday morning. But I mean, because if what you do in worship is just the hour that you spend here on Sunday morning, you're really missing what the fullness of worship is about. This is corporate worship. This is when the body comes together to praise God. But personal worship happens all throughout the week. And it happens each day as we offer ourselves to God, as we spend time in prayer, not asking God to give me things, but asking God to show me how God wants to use me today. As we spend time in study, not asking God to feed me, but to fill me and let your word shape me for your work. And giving our lives to God through service, not asking God to let me do things, but asking God to speak and act through me. Our spiritual act of worship is how we present ourselves to God. And our spiritual actual act of worship is also reflected in our commitment to grow as the disciples of Jesus Christ. And that commitment can be lived out in very simple ways. I'm going to outline them for you very quickly, and we'll talk about them more in depth later throughout the year. First of all, our commitment to Christ begins with a personal relationship with Him. That He is the Lord of our lives, that He is the one that we confess as Lord and Savior of our lives. And then that we are intentionally engaged in some kind of a group that will keep me accountable and help me grow in my faith. We do life together, and we do life in community with each other. That we're answering the call to serve others through our giftedness. We've each been gifted with ways that we can serve, and we step up and we answer that call when we get the opportunity to serve. We demonstrate a life of stewardship with our time and our talents and our treasures. We've talked before about how stewardship is just simply another word for managing. Managing our time, talents, and treasures, understanding that God owns them, and we manage for God on God's behalf. And then finally, investing in others so that we can make more disciples and build God's kingdom. That's what we're about, is investing our lives in other people so that others might know the story of God, and the story of God might fill them just as it has filled us. So why does any of this matter to us? I think we find the answer to that in Psalm 84. The psalmist said, the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. We get the most out of life when we learn how to give God what God wants most. And that's total surrender. Total surrender is the channel through which God's blessings flow into our lives. And getting the most out of life begins with that total commitment to God and God's work in our lives. Giving God what God wants most. In the midst of your accomplishments and achievements, in light of your investments and your personal goals, what would it look like for you to surrender all that you had to Christ today? What would it look like? What would it mean for you to be all in for the sake of your relationship with Jesus Christ? Let's pray together. Gracious God, I give you thanks for the milestones and the accomplishments of the ones that we love around us. As we get graduation announcements in the mail, and when we celebrate confirmands who are professing their faith in Christ, and we celebrate those who teach our students and help our students grow, and all the many ways and all the many things that we see in our lives that look like accomplishment and achievement, I praise you, God, that you are there in the midst of all of them. And I pray that these milestones, these benchmarks, may be opportunities for us to rethink where we are, to rethink our commitments, and to live in such a way that we align our goals and our motives and our resources toward one specific person and one specific purpose, and as Jesus Christ and our desire to follow him and be his disciples. Help us in everything that we do, live this out and reflect it so that we might show the world what it means to be a truly committed Christian who lives in your light and walks in your ways. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.